shut it.
Welcome back to the Enjoy the Walk podcast, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been around the golf influencer space long enough, you'll know who we have on the podcast today. Someone who's been in the industry as far as a golf influencer side of things for a long time. You may know him as Movement to Improvement. You know him now as Golf and Influencer, a personal coach that turns the golf instruction game into an online business. Happy to have Gabriel Ryder on the show. Gabriel, how are you, man?
Dalton, Dante, thank you guys so much for having me on. I appreciate you guys. Definitely one of the OGs in the game. So I love that you guys reached out to me to be able to share kind of the journey that golf and online golf has, you know, gone through. So thank you.
No, man, I love the energy you brought right as soon as we got on. It's that kind of energy that I think everyone's always loved about your content. You know, Dante, you said you found him when it was kind of the OG days. If you really had to go searching for golf instructional video, you couldn't just pop your Instagram feed and really scroll through.
Yes. No. And yeah, I mean, that like we were saying off camera before, this is like, out of all the golf fluence in there, Gabe right here is probably one of the, I would say from my experience, one of like kind of the guys of the foundation. If you want to shout names of like Rick Shields and Peter Finch and Mia My Golf and maybe Mark Crossfield, excuse me, and Gabriel Ryder as Movement Towards Improvement. That's like all I went to when I got into the game to learn the score. That's all that was really out there at the time. And this was in around like 2013, 2014. And Gabe, you said you were making videos since 2009. So, I mean, like these are like the OGs of what we see golf influencers and golf influencing today.
Yeah, I mean, I started back in 2009. As far as I know, in my research, I was like the first one to put out a course vlog. And I'm really grateful. You guys know the app Clubhouse, right?
100%.
Yes.
Spend almost too much time on it every now and then.
Yeah. So I was just on the other day, and me and my golf, you know, Andy and Piers and Rick were on there, and they brought me up. And, you know, I'm grateful that I have some clout still, because those guys know how hard it was back in those early days to create content, get views, and get subscribers. So it's cool when you got guys like that. You know, they've always had a lot of respect and have always, you know, give me props for, you know, what I've done. And we even collaborated on some videos, me and my golf, Rick Shields, you know, invested in my membership site. So to have those guys support and like be able to recognize and respect what I did back in the day is pretty awesome.
I want to talk like that start, right? Because Dante, you mentioned some names early on that obviously are, I guess you could call, juggernauts in the industry now. They are known wide and far, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Instagram. You know, talk us through your journey. You said you started making videos in 2009. What was that quote unquote come up like? You know, how did you learn? How did you really maneuver yourself in the space to kind of become a familiar face as the industry was really in a slow grow at that point in time?
So this is a very pivotal point. Like, as you look back on your life, I have found certain key moments that shifted a whole timeline. And back in 2009, I somehow came across this contest online that was like, show us how you use your Almost golf ball and the winner will win a camera. So an Almost golf ball was one of those yellow foam balls that I think Dave Pelz was like sponsoring and promoted. So I was like, dude, maybe I'll make a trick shot video in my house. And my dad's like, don't waste your time on that. Do something else. Like, do something that's going to make you money. Don't spend 6-8 hours making this trick shot video. You're not going to gain anything back. And I was like, I just want to make it.
You're saying the trick shot didn't just take one time?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I ended up creating this trick shot video that was like how to use your Almost golf. But I was like hitting it over my house and hitting it off like trampolines and treadmills and as creative as I could get, right? Hit into pots, like boiling pots of water. I can't even remember all these different things into my car. And long story short, I won the contest and they sent me like a little like mini HD camera because I didn't even have one. This is back in 2009. And so now I had a camera. I now have one video that's on YouTube And I think it was like a pretty decent trick shot video. So it got some sort of views. Maybe the company promoted it because it's like their contest. So maybe they sent it out to their list or whoever. And so it got maybe, let's just say a couple hundred views. I can't remember. And then I was like, well, shit, like maybe I could make another video, like a golf video. And for me, I've always been driven towards success and improvement and growth. So, you know, being a 19-year-old, I was like, well, maybe I'll just like share my journey with what I'm learning in the game of golf and what I'm studying and what I'm doing to practice. So it was very much of a documentation. I wasn't teaching people. I wasn't coming off as an authority. I was just like, hey guys, let me share with you my journey of what I'm doing. And at that time, my brand was called PGA Tour Driven because I wanted to get to the tour. And, you know, just being on YouTube and watching different videos back in the day, you know, some of the most popular videos starting off on YouTube or vlogs, like people sharing their life. And I was like, dude, why don't I like show what I'm doing, like at home, what food I'm making, and then like driving up to the course, then like recording during the round, and then like do something like that. No one had ever done that. And so I just kind of like on and off, you know, with life and everything, just kind of kept making these videos, maybe like once or twice a month, not often. Cause you know, it's just so early in the game. It's probably like, yeah, like fucking five of us on YouTube all together between like Sean Clement, me and my golf, and like, I don't know, one or two more. So it's like, it's not that popping off at that point. No one knows the opportunities. No one really knows what can be done. And that's really kind of the basis of how it started.
Well, and that always amazed me, right? Like you start with quote unquote five people that are basically making golf content. And you know, obviously there was more here and there, but what gave you the drive to say, I want to keep doing this? You know, when you probably struggled early on with views, when you might've struggled with growth, like what was the constant drive? Where was the factor of, hey, I enjoy this so much? Was it just the fact of just being creative or what really drove you to continue to make content so often?
What's up, YouTube? Gibber Whitey here, representing the movement towards improvement, and welcome back to the Player Profile Program, where we showcase influencer stories, sticks, and score. MTI, no lie, do slide, die, bang, bang. You know what it is. So for me, it was like, It was like, for me, it was like, it gave me an avenue to be an entertainer. You know, like probably ever since I was a kid, like I was voted like most funniest kid in seventh grade. So for me, I loved to entertain. And if you, a lot of times I forget what I did in the past, and I'll go back and I'll watch some of my videos where I'm like selling MTI towels, or I'm hitting balls out of the water with like flippers and like snorkel gear on, or I'm like working out in the pro shop. Like I see how creative I was and how different I was and how kind of extreme I was. And to be honest, at the time I was making those videos, working on the pro shop, snorkel gear, all the wacky stuff that I was doing or how I was doing it. Dude, I was so self-conscious. I was scared to put out basically every video I did because I had these ideas for like these kind of crazy, kooky things. I'm like, dude, that's fucking gay. Like that, no one's gonna like that shit. And I was like, I would upload the video, I would click like publish, and then I would shut my laptop and I'd walk away. Like I didn't wanna know the feedback or response because I was afraid of people like judging it and not liking it, being like, dude, you are weird or whatever. But every time I came back to the computer, like I tried to give it some space, I came back and like all the comments, all the likes, like I literally like for the first like 5 years never got like, honestly, like I can't even remember getting like one piece of negative content, or if I did, it just wasn't much. And so that gave me the encouragement to keep going.
And that's incredible too. You think about how much, almost a little bit to a lot of people's detriment as they start to create in today's day and age, there's so much negativity around comments and sections and things like that, that really might diminish people's, you know, drive to continue to do it. That intro you do and are so kind of well known for just got me so hyped. And I think got everyone hyped to, you know, watch golf content. I mean, it just came so natural. There's only another guy I can think of, and he does music reviews. If you've ever watched No Life Shack on YouTube, he's just an absolute like 100%, 110% energy all the time. And he does this kind of catchphrase intro that you just get so pumped, and you watch him so much, you actually can kind of say it with him after you watch so many of his videos. And that your intro reminds me of that. It's just something where it's catchy, it's fun, it's exciting, and it gets me really pumped up to watch videos. Stuff like that, you know, obviously comes from the creative side. And you know, where did you find yourself? You know, you said you thought things were corny, you thought things were kind of cheesy. Where did you break that mold for yourself? Like, where was that point that you kind of looked at yourself and said, I don't care about that anymore?
It's a good question. I feel like it just happened very organically. You know, like YouTube's a new thing. I'm doing something like that's very uncommon at this time. And it just kind of like was a plant or a flower just blossoming by itself. Nothing I premeditated, nothing that I studied and was like, hey, you should do this. You know, maybe if anything, I kind of maybe looked at some other YouTubers and were like, oh, he's kind of has an intro. So like that he does this. So I was like, oh, I'm Gabriel Ryder here representing Movement Towards Improvement. And it just kind of naturally developed itself out of the unknown. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool because like I remember a lot of people back in the day, like in the comment sections, they would like say my like intro, like MTI, no lie, do slide die, you know? And I'm like, you know, I'm doing this by myself on the course and like to see how other people, I'm like, geez, like people really connect with that like very abstract, like doesn't make sense intro, like MTI, no lie, do slide die, bank. I was like, but people like it. So it's cool to, like I said, just kind of explore like a big, like ethos for myself in my 20s, because I'm 30 now, was experience, experiment, and explore. So, you know, I think that's what a lot of what I was doing, and I still continue to do. I would be like, let me try a thrift store video. Let me try a course vlog. Let me like interview a top junior golfer. Let me interview a coach. Let me do, you know, like, let me go to Hawaii. Like I always was trying, like I did even poems kind of at the end. And like, I even shared when things weren't going good. So I was like trying to be, you know, kind of like in my core, I'm an artist. And so I was like now experimenting, now that I had this space in the avenue and even an audience to kind of explore within myself and get some feedback on, you know, what I could deliver.
Well, and I think the way you talked to before we got on the show, the way you kind of just described your being, right? I think a lot of artists think the way you think, and I think you nailed kind of on the head. I think you are an artist. I think every creative, whether it's Instagram, whether they focus on YouTube, whether it's the whole bundle, I think those kind of really successful creatives are true artists at heart. And I think you capture that mindset really well. You know, you mentioned, you know, till the end, obviously, you know, you moved kind of away from it and then back into it. What moved you into saying I need to take a break? You know, if you found yourself enjoying it so much, where was that breaking point of saying I just need to step back for a little bit and kind of regroup?
Yeah, so I'm gonna deep dive with you guys really quick because, you know, a lot of my story hasn't been shared. But so from 2009 to 2013, I dealt a lot with cystic acne. And that's primarily why I didn't make videos consistently, because I would get these cysts or I'd have this really bad acne and I wouldn't feel comfortable and I wouldn't feel confident with myself. So kind of as like my skin got worse, I would do less videos. And then during these like peaks and valleys of my skin, it would be a kind of like, I guess, better in my sense, and I would make more videos. And in 2013, also have to remember, I'm a high school dropout. So I dropped out of high school my freshman year. I went to independent learning school where they kicked me out there. I have no GED. I have no high school diploma. And from my freshman year of high school, I really isolated myself and I didn't really I didn't have a social life. Didn't really go much to go to kickbacks or parties or anything. I grew up with this kind of a very not understanding the world type of mentality. And I for one, like when I hit my freshman year of high school, where I got all Fs and 2 Ds, that was my breaking point because I already had not been doing good in school up until that point. And then my freshman year, all Fs, 2 Ds, I had enough, I like completely rebelled. So I dropped out of high school. Cystic acne was very, very traumatizing for me. And then in 2013, I actually was like suicidal. I was like, I can't keep living like this because I suppressed myself sexually. I've never been on a date with a female. I'm in pain. This hasn't been going away. And I guess in a way, I just been suppressing a big part of myself for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. And I just wasn't expanding or growing. And I didn't really know that at the time. I just knew that like there was so much inside that wanted to come out, but because of my health, I felt suppressed and depressed. So in 2013, I was like, I need help. Like I'm not getting better, and it's affecting me, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally. And I stopped making videos then in January, and I was like, dude, I gotta work on my skin. And so I went to, I was Christian at the time. So I went like the Christian healing route through, like, I went to deliverances, I went to healing rooms, I was reading healing books, you know, youth groups, Bible studies, like going the whole Christian route, because that's kind of what I was led into through my grandma. And then I went to like functional nutritionist, like see if I'm allergic to stuff. I went to like pharmaceutical route. And long story short, I'd like about a year, I got my skin better. Like for the first time, I didn't have cysts and I wasn't physically in pain. I had some scars, and but I felt better about myself. I was the healthiest I'd ever been in my life. And that's when I had, during that time when I was working on my skin, I saved up money. And in the end of 2013, I moved to Arizona, and I created Movement Towards Improvement in November when I moved to Phoenix, practicing over at the Legacy. So it's like, I'm like, dude, I gotta like work on some shit because I'm not good. I have to face a lot of demons. And I did. I took the time to address that, got it better, and then moved to Arizona, changed from PGA Tour driven because I'm not trying to get to the tour. I'm like, this is just about the process of improving and growing as much as I can and seeing where it can take me. Started Movement Towards Improvement. And then, and this is kind of a, you know, you asked me kind of why I broke away and what I did. And I had to share this because this is very much in alignment with why I broke away. So for like 2 years, I was the healthiest I'd ever been. And I was hustling, grinding. And then I had never been out. So like, just to kind of share some stuff with you guys, like a year later, I think I did my GoFundMe for my membership site to get to Hawaii for Kelvin Miyahira. And at this time, I had gone probably around 7 years with never taking my shirt off in front of anybody, including my family. So I have like, I had cysts all over my chest. So I have scars all over my chest. And once again, I was very self-conscious. I'm in pain. I don't know anything. So once I healed, I have all these scars, but I had been so closed off for so long that I was so nervous. So I knew I was going to Hawaii and I knew I was going to go to beaches and stuff. And I was like, I need to get over that fear, you know? And I remember like for the first time, just trying to take my shirt off in front of my family was like insane to me, like mind blowing. Cause I've conditioned myself for like 7 years now. And I was like Googling, I was like, how to have courage. And I was like, Gabe, I was like, you know what the fuck you need to do. You just have to do it. Like, there's no, like, you know, the steps, it's you take off your shirt or you don't. Like, it's not like, I'm like, how do I like muster up the courage to do it? You know? So I did it. And like, and then like, I started doing it in front of strangers, and I'm just sharing because, you know, what everyone sees online, they see like a 6, 10, 12, 15 minute video of a 24-hour day. That's 7 days a week. So you guys aren't seeing like 6 days and 23 hours and 45 minutes of my life. You're only seeing 15 minutes of like, what's up YouTube, Gabriel, you know, like you're only seeing a very small snippet of the being of Gabriel. So I'm opening up, I healed my skin. I'm like starting to express myself. And then a little bit after that, I was like, dude, like I've never dealt with women. I've never been on a date. I've never kissed a woman. I've never been emotionally or physically involved with a woman. I'm 25 at this point. And I was like, I need to get out there. So long story short, I was like, I need to lose my virginity. That was my goal. I go out there. I get on Tinder. That's the first thing I do. I'm super nervous. I'm like, shit. Dude. Like, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Long story short, I lose my virginity to this Russian girl. She's like way over my head. Like she's super, like she rides a motorbike. She plays like Ultimate Frisbee. I'm like this like little small insecure virgin. And that like broke me. And I moved from San Diego to Arizona at this time. And I think it opened up a lot of dormant and suppressed energies that I had. Because, like, once again, you have to understand, like, from dropping out of high school to cystic acne to not even feeling comfortable around my family to never, you know, being involved with a woman. As I started freeing myself and expanding and feeling more comfortable, I'm like, oh, so that was happening. And then I was ready to take my YouTube channel to the next level. So understand, I'm now in Arizona. I just got full permission to teach and make videos at the Legacy Golf Academy. It's like a $1 million academy. They got K-Vest, they got FlyScope, they got AMM, they got Sam Putting Lamp. They have like five hitting bays. They have an indoor simulator. They have a gym, back and front ranges. You know, a lot of where my videos were filmed back in the day. They're like, hey, you can teach here, you can film here. We love you. We're excited to see what you do. I have a videographer. I just held my first MTI experience at the Four Seasons Resort in Texas. I got a new clothing contract with a company called Wet in Florida. My membership site went from making 1K a month to 2K a month to 5K a month to 10K a month. And I'm like doing really fucking good, right? And I'm like ready to go even to the next fucking level. So I'm studying all these YouTube channels that like I like, you know? I got like 20 tabs open. I'm studying like everything about them because I want to go to the next level. And every single one of these YouTube channels was completely and unadulterated, like free. Like they were swearing, they were talking about women, they were just saying whatever they wanted to say. And they had like 500,000 subscribers to 1 million subscribers. And I'm over here with like 40,000 subscribers and I'm busting my ass. And I'm like, damn, dude, like back in 2015, I was like, I can't be at the Legacy Golf Academy and be like, yo, I just fucking busted a nut on that bitch. That was dope. They're like, dude, you're an instructor at our academy. Like, you can't say that stuff. You know, like, I don't have that freedom. So everything that I'm sharing is like, I knew what being suppressed was like in my life. And when I felt and I had this realization, epiphany, that I could no longer be free in golf, that's when I immediately cut the cord and was like, for the rest of my life, I need to find something where I can fully be myself, fully be free, because I can't go back to suppressing myself. And that's when I cut the cord and fully like cut every, like I literally cut and snipped everything and was done in an instant.
Whew. There was so much wow. in there that just is wow. I mean, you talk about a journey. That is a full unedited, just absolute journey of finding oneself, of conquering fears, like you said, of cutting the cord of what you held yourself back before and kind of how you were able to escape some of these fears and these demons almost. I mean, that's just incredible to me that in that journey, you were able to not only step back once, but kind of step back twice and realize, okay, I got over this one thing, but now I see another step in which I need to take. And I got over another thing. And then it seems like where you sit now is a truer, freer self that allows you to just kind of be on your own beat and allow you to produce the content you want to produce, because not only you broke the chains of what you were kind of holding yourself back from, but you broke the chains of kind of what your contract or your employer was holding you back from as well. It's a testament to some serious soul searching.
Dude, it was terrifying going into, you know, healing rooms and deliverances for my skin. It was terrifying seeing functional nutritionists. It was terrifying going into the doctor's office and getting needles put in me and stuff. It was terrifying, you know, taking my shirt off in front of family and then strangers. It was terrifying, like at 25, opening up to a female for my first time. Like, I'm fucking terrified, like I feel like I'm dying in every one of these steps. And then, like I said, I realized, like, dude, I'm not free in golf, and I can't know that I want to express more and have something like being pushed down on me. And I left everything, and everyone was like, dude, you should stay in it a little longer, or maybe do a little bit. Like, I literally cut the cord of my funds coming in from my membership site. I sold like 98% of my golf clothes. Like, I literally cut everything. And then I was like, well, what am I going to do now? That literally started a whole nother journey that was like, that I've been on the last 5 years of, you know, that, and then plant medicine came in and was involved in that. So very shortly after that, after I stopped, about 2 months later, I did ayahuasca, and that really set me off on a whole nother internal expanding journey.
Well, man, I know we could talk on that forever, and we could go so many different avenues with it too. There's so many incredible movements in life that you've had that I know we could just dive in, but let's talk about the most recent kind of focus and where you're at today. Why are you doing the services for others now? You know, you're turning golf coaches into online, you know, beasts just like yourself were, you know, plenty of years ago, and what you're doing now as well, you're conquering in a very, very good fashion. You know, why help others now? Why help them produce content and create their own businesses online?
Yeah, for me, you know, I think I can only talk about myself and growing up as a man, you know, you start to think about what your life, what you want it to be, and like what you want your legacy to be. And to sum up the last 5 years, you know, it's ultimately the question that I surround my consciousness the most with is, how can I best serve the world? Like, for me, that's how I wish to live. Not what's really the most joyful to me, not really what's the most passionate for me. Like, I might do like ceremonies, I might do rapping, but what's like the most meaningful to me? How can I best serve the world? And so with that question, I was like, dude, I naturally built a movement. Like, it's literally called a movement towards improvement. I naturally built a brand. I naturally got viewers. I naturally built a membership site, stuff that I did innately and had really no conscious, like once again, no conscious intention before I did it. I just let it unfold. And so I knew I had the natural knack for that. And for those that don't know as well, I'm also the one that helped start George Gankus's membership site and YouTube channel back in 2016. So just as a little snippet, I had a roommate named Fish Fisher, and he saw me with my membership site, and you know, I'm making, let's say, $300. Two people from, you know, one person from Canada, one person from Ireland just signed up for my membership. So I made $300. I didn't even do anything. And my buddy Fish, you know, he spent 10 years on the PGA Tour. And he spent his last five years working for Bubba Watson, winning the Masters with him. Fish is a physiotherapist, athletic trainer. And anyways, he had left the tour to want to do something for himself, met me, saw me building my brand. Long story short, he was like, dude, teach me how to do this. You know, he's teaching golf. He's not making much money. He's valeting. He's seeing me wake up. I got like $500 in the bank, not doing anything. He's like, please teach me how to do this. He's used to living the high life on the PGA Tour, you know, private jets, the nicest resorts, the best food. And I was like, okay. And I was like, you know, if we could build a membership site for one person, it would be this guy named George Gankus. I'd got a lesson from him. I'd filmed it. He had charisma. He had some good students. He was different. And so we went down there and we filmed some videos and we started a membership site, and it made like $45,000 like the first 3 days. So now fast forward, I'm putting together this accumulation over the years of like, how can I best serve the world? And I was like, I think that the best way I can serve the world is help other people do what I did. And so for instance, I'm working with an instructor by the name of Poor Zach Golf down here in San Diego. I think he's going to be, in my opinion, one of the biggest instructors in the game of golf, and probably perhaps one of the biggest names in the game of golf. He just has an unmatched level of drive and ambition and positivity and relentlessness that I haven't seen in really any human being that I've ever met in my life. And so like, he was a guy, like a lot of instructors, a lot of people, well, let's stick to instructors for now, that like love to teach, have good students, been doing it for a while. They don't want to film. They don't want to edit. They don't want to do titles, descriptions, and tags, interactive cards and end cards. And they don't want to do playlists, and they don't want to do their thumbnails, and they don't want to, you know, do IG videos and Facebook, meaning like they don't want to do any of the production. They're like, I fucking love to teach. I love to help people, but I don't want to do all that back end stuff. So Golf Influencer was, because of my validity, because of my social proof of my 555 videos, of my 13 million views, 42,000 subscribers, you know, the merchandise I sold, my membership site, I was like, I feel like that's my domain and realm that I could help people the most in. And that's where Golf Influencer was birthed. And that's kind of where we're at right now in terms of, you know, growing, expanding that out.
Well, and you talk too about, I think that's just incredible, the mission, the purpose behind it, why you chose it. You talk about too that the PGA professional not wanting to do that work. There's a learning curve there, right? Like the PGA professionals, if they were to try and do that work themselves too, have a learning curve there of like trying to figure it all out. Because most of these PGA professionals, they're not YouTubers. They're not, you know, high social media guys, because they're spending so much time teaching. It's how they make their money. So they're spending all their time on the range. If they know technology, it's TrackMan technology or other simulator technology. And they focus so much time on learning the swing, the mechanics, this, that, and the other, to be able to be a good teacher, that they don't have the time to do what you do and provide that kind of service. So I think it's incredible. And I think as we move into you know, the next decade of what golf's going to be, it's online a lot, especially if this pandemic and this year has showed us anything. Golf lessons and golf teaching can be done from home and in a very effective manner. I think it's going to be incredible to see what teachers we see pop up on the online space that might not have otherwise gained that kind of notoriety because of that availability for membership sites and of the such.
So I think there should be, I want to add to that in a couple ways. I think there should be a distinction between, we can call them, I don't know what the proper word is, like golf entertainers and golf instructors.
Right.
Meaning like, I love Me and My Golf. They're phenomenal. And they've paid their dues and they've taught a lot. And same thing with Rick and everybody, every one of those guys, they've been teachers and they've done that. But now, I don't want to make any assumptions, but I want to say they don't teach much. Mm-hmm. You know, my instructors that I work with, they're teaching 8 to 12 hours a day. Porzak will show up at the range at 7, last lessons at 6, and then he'll go home and do 2 to 3 hours of online lessons. And so that person who's teaching for 8 hours a day, last thing they want to do is go home and like edit videos for a couple hours.
Right.
And every client that I've worked with, which has been around 4 or 5, are all fathers with kids. So once again, they have families, they have kids, like, okay, they've just been teaching, they're just standing. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, because I didn't really know it that much. These guys stand for 8 hours and don't stop speaking for 8 hours. And a lot of them, like George Gankus included, when I used to go down there and film him, like they don't even take lunches a lot of the time.
Nope.
Dude, they're going. And so those people, and I want to be an advocate, and what ultimately I hope Golf Influencer will be one day, is a lot of these people need teams. Everyone has a role to play and a position, and everyone needs to be in their genius. The point guard needs to be the point guard. He doesn't need to be down low. The person down low doesn't need to be shooting threes. Like, you're down there to box out, get rebounds, and be fucking there. So meaning like Porzak, his genius is not filming and editing and keyword research and building thumbnails. And the time that he would take to do the back end stuff would take away from his genius. It'd be like Luke Donald trying to hit the ball like Bryson DeChambeau, and then his putting and short game diminishes. It's like you kind of have to know what your strengths are, because Bryson can't short game and putt it like Luke Donald. And Luke got to number one player in the world. So you can't try to like take Rory's game or Dustin's game. So ultimately what I'm advocating for is people building teams and having someone like a Gabriel Ryder who can now just take everything off your hands. They're loving it because they're just doing what they love to do. Their energy's high. I'm doing what I'm great at, what I like to do. And now it just makes it so much easier for everyone to build and grow. So, so there's a difference. Like, you could maybe do it by yourself if you're not a golf instructor, really. Like, I wasn't. Like, when I used to make videos, I wasn't teaching 8 hours a day. So if you're kind of getting started out, then you could probably do it. And if you're not teaching and that's your full-time job, which is like Golf YouTube, then you could probably do it. But for these instructors who do want to get their instruction out there, that do want to get a membership site and membership community, but they don't have the time and they just don't want to do it. We all, like, just look at their podcast. Everyone needs to start building a team.
Yeah, I think you hit the nose on the head. When you talk about a profession, because this it is, these are these guys' livelihoods. When you talk about a profession and when they're there at sunup, teaching lessons, not taking lunches, really committing wholeheartedly to their students and less about their own health. When you talk about that kind of commitment to a job, to a profession, there's little room for any kind of extracurriculars, especially when you bring families into the picture for these guys. I know we have plenty of teachers that listen to our podcast. Where can, if this teacher doesn't already work with you, where can they reach out to you, and how can people follow along on your journey to kind of see your effect that you're going to, you're continuing to create within the industry?
Yeah. So, I mean, Golf Influencer, you know, on my IG, but I would actually follow Porzak Golf. Go follow Porzak Golf, because I'm going to do my best for that team, for Adam and Mike. And that is going to be a good template and a lot of education through following what I do with him. I don't post anything. I didn't post one video on YouTube last year. I didn't post anything on IG last year. It's because I'm focusing on my clients. I'm building their social medias, their brands, their movements. I don't give a fuck about Golf Influencers. I don't got time for me. There's too much to do for them. So follow Porzak Golf, because he's where I'm going to be putting most of my time and energy. And this is another thing, which is, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but no golf instructors since George Gankus, which I started, puts out videos of them teaching people. So, like, I don't know if you guys know, and I'd love if you guys did, of a golf YouTuber who puts out videos of them teaching people. They're all tips, drills, and lessons, but 99% of the time, it's that instructor by himself.
Yeah, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find that kind of content, right? Like, you'd be hard-pressed to actually find the instructor working on or with somebody fixing an actual issue. Usually it's someone demonstrating that flaw and showing you how to fix it as a singular, you know, unit, as a singular individual. So I think you're nail on the head. You know, there's not a lot of that kind of content floating around the airspace, no matter how you're looking for it.
Which is, it's fucking stupid that it's not. I think it's the most valuable content if you're a golf instructor. Like, I was talking to a guy who does club fittings in the YouTube space, mm-hmm. and not one of his videos, like in his videos, he would talk about stuff like a new driver, swing weights, but never once did he demonstrate or expose him fitting somebody. I was like, bro, you're a fucking fitter. You fit people every fucking day. And then like, you're like, here's this driver at this shaft that you're using now. Let's try this shaft with this driver for these reasons. Oh shit, there's 15 yards. And then the customer's like, dude, that's fucking awesome. He's like, I know, right? I'm like, you need to capture that.
Well, and especially in the world of golf, right? The fitting, I feel like, is one of the most misconcepted, most like gotten wrong kind of myths within this game, because no one does that, right? No one actually shows the process unless you go. You Google golf fitting and it's the same thing that you just talked about, right? It's the just here's this versus this. Here's how you do it. There's never the actual process being shown with someone with a club in their hand. And it's bonkers to me.
Dude, I'm like, that's where you shine. That's what you do. Once again, 6 to 8, I want to see what you do for people. And a big part of marketing and a big part of branding is transformation. The hero's journey is ultimately a transformation. For Golf Influencer, it's like, well, here's Porzak's YouTube channel before, which he didn't have one, 0 subscribers, 0 videos, but here's a banner. Here's our intro. Here's an end card. Here's our thumbnails. Here's our landing page. Like, here's the before and here's the after. It's prettier. It's got everything it needs, whatever. But it's like, I need to show the transformation of where you're, you know, if you're fitting people, where they came in, and then that process of that plan that got them better, then that end result, just like you would maybe for fitness or something. Like, okay, you're eating this, you're walking this much, you're drinking. Okay, we're gonna do this. This is the plan, and this is what your life's gonna look like after. So, even and teachers don't do it. Like, even people don't. So, what I think is such a I think what's going to be phenomenal for our membership site and for the status and the social proof and the validity and the authority is Pours at Golf. Every single video that we've put out in 4 months, which is we've put out a video Monday, Wednesday, and Friday every week for the last 4 months. I think right around that time is him teaching an AJGA winner, a D1 college student. I'll be putting out a Korn Ferry player, full-time Korn Ferry player next week, LPGA Tour player, top junior. Like, he's teaching. You're getting an inside look of an exact lesson from putting to, you know, dry. So it puts him, like, I am an instructor. I'm not, like, a golf entertainer that's just telling you the tips, drills, and lessons. Like, come watch me teach people. Come. And it's, so I just think it just so much for the validity of social proof. And then it's going to, once again, make people want to sign up, especially when basically every video is a testimonial of, you know, like I said, an AJGA winner, an LPGA Tour player, a Korn Ferry Tour player. Like, it also shows, like, oh, really good players, trust him, pay him money, go to him. And I just think, like, no one's doing it. And it's sad. And, like, I try to tell everyone to do it. But there's a lot of different reasons why that's not happening.
No, I think again, there's a reason you're having success, because you're hitting nail after nail after nail on the head. There's a lot of things that you just, as consumers within the industry, you know, Dante and I send stuff back and forth all the time on Instagram and say, well, why didn't they talk about this? Or he sends me a YouTube video and he's like, well, they talked about A, but they didn't talk about B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, like, why are we missing this content? And I think it's exciting to see the avenue you're taking, because it's a lot of those kind of unanswered questions or what we want more of, we're just not seeing. So guys, you guys can go follow Poor Zach Golf on Instagram at Poor Zach Golf. That's PORZAKGOLF, and as well as PoorZachGolf.com to continue to see Gabriel's work.
Dude, go to Poor Zach Golf YouTube channel.
And that too.
So the reason I say that is, like, the YouTube channel is important because, one, it's evergreen. And so let's talk about evergreen. Evergreen means Gabriel Ryder, if I could share my screen, and I will if you guys want me to, did not put out a video last year. Not one video on Movement Towards Improvement YouTube channel. I've put out like 25 videos in the last 5 years. My channel still gets like 15,000 views a month. So that's like 500 views a day. So when you go to Poor Zach Golf's YouTube channel and you see, let's say, 200 views, 400 views, 500 views, I want everyone listening to know that's a fuck ton of people. 500 people, like, you might look at the Me and My Golfs and the Rick Shields. Dude, 500 people is insane. If you could see what 500 people on a range would look like in real life, you'd be like, holy, it's so much when you think of 500.
I feel like that's a sold out Topgolf and then some. Like, people don't understand that.
And then some. That's wait line. That's the 2 hour wait line you got there at the Topgolf.
500 people is a lot of people. And, you know, a big part of this influencer, you know, dynamic is, you know, there's a, like, 1,000 true fans. Like, you don't need 20,000, 50,000, 100,000. So just so you guys know, Poor Zach, I actually just let go of a client, and now I'm moving full time for Poor Zach because there's so much that needs to be done. I personally believe I'm going to make 6 figures a year and more with Poor Zach alone. So, and the reason I say that is because, like, you don't need a lot of people. I need, for my, and it's different for every, you know, business and offer and service, et cetera. But for me, like, if I want to make 6 figures plus, I personally think I just need one client. Just one. So what I'm saying is, like, you know, you do the math. Let's say Poor Zach, you know, has 1,000 people paying him $20 a month. That's $20,000 a month. You can scale it online, and it's evergreen. So what I'm saying is, like, I have videos, and I can show this to you guys in 2 seconds, that are getting hundreds and thousands of views every month that I uploaded in 2009, 2012, 2015. So you don't get that on Instagram and Facebook. you know, Porzek's post that he put up, you know, 6 months ago on Instagram, as far as I know, it's not getting viewed. It's not being watched.
It's lost in the algorithm. It will never pop up on someone's screen as a new video in which they can, you know, pause and watch. That Instagram doesn't work like that. Neither does Facebook. I think you hit the nail on the head.
And YouTube is the YouTube is the second biggest search engine next to Google because it's owned by Google. So your YouTube videos can rank in Google. Another reason I say that is because it's a lot more easier for people to find you organically on YouTube, because when I, you know, I'm going to kind of go to Porzak's channel real quick. Like today I put in a video, golf impact position and drills, golf iron swing tips, golf putting drills, the perfect backswing position, golf backswing drills, golf backswing takeaway, increased driver distance, golf impact drills, golf lower body movement, how to hit a draw with an iron. So what I do is I go do keyword research and I find what people are typing in. So now people can come in and be like, ooh, golf impact position. Like my video might come up, you know, and the more videos we put out and better they do, they can rank. But what I'm saying is it's hard to, like, you can't go into Instagram and organically find people like that. But YouTube, people are like, how to increase driver distance, how to stop hooking, how to stop slicing, you know, high school golf or lesson, college golf, whatever it may be. So it's the second biggest search engine. It's a lot easier for people to find you organically. Two, it's evergreen. So the videos that Porzek put out 3 months ago are still getting views. Now it's just compounding with all the other videos we're putting out. And you don't need a lot of people. 500 people, we get 100 of those people, you know, from his 20,000 Instagram and YouTube channel to pay $20 a month. Now that's paying for me. Now that's paying for my filming and my editing and my distribution. And now his brand just, now he's breaking even. He's like, dude, now the money we got coming in from what you're doing, we're paying you with. And now I'm just pumping out videos, building his exposure, building his brand. And George, when I got a lesson with him, he charged me like, I think $220 an hour or something, you know, whatever it was, somewhere in the low 200s, which I think is very similar to Porzak. And now my buddy hit him up for a lesson. And from what I've heard, he was like, it's $700. So it's like, it's not like
investment. That's what that is.
Yeah, dude, Porzak told this to me. Like, he's only, I don't think this is a ton, but he's got like 20K Instagram followers. He's like, dude, people treat me different now. He's like, because he'll have like Corn Fairy players and stuff. And he's like, dude, they listen to what I say. And he's like, I kind of like, they give me respect. Like the coach is almost becoming more of like the hot girl. Before it was like the player's the hot girl.
Right. The tides have turned because of social media, because of the online presence. And I think you've covered a lot of misconceptions, obviously, you know, within the golf industry, within your own personal life, some misconceptions that you've been able to conquer. But like, that's the biggest one for me that I think is in today's day and age is missed, is almost you can do more with less when it comes to those kind of key 1,000 subscribers or key 500 subscribers. It doesn't have to be a ton to really utilize a market, especially in the golf space and with YouTube and with these online subscription services.
Dude, it's very much like Gary Vee would say, it's always more about depth than width. It's all about connection. It's you don't need a lot. It's just like everything in life. Like if you were going to get better at golf when you're a beginner, you need to spend a fuckload of time on width of stance, weight distribution and stance, posture, where your hands hang, your grip, alignment. Like that's the fundamentals. You're not going to like, you don't want to beat hundreds and thousands of balls not having consistent width of stance, weight distribution, posture, grip, you know what I'm saying? Alignment. You need to keep those things consistent. And what I'm saying is like, don't make a whole bunch of trying to make a ton of videos and get a ton of fans when you don't have the foundation right or like have a way of accumulating money, or else you're just going to spend a lot of energy and not get much in return. Where me and Porzak, if you actually look at what we're doing, you guys, instructors listening, you, like we're not doing, and I'll tell you what I'm doing for everyone listening. I'm filming an hour-long lesson with Porzak. Here's the juice. If any instructor wants to double their income in the next 2 to 3 years, here's the fucking plan. I'm going to give you guys the gems. I film an hour-long lesson. In that lesson, there's at least 3 to 5 videos that I can make. You know, because like they start off and they're doing wedges and irons, and then they usually move to like, let's say, drivers and woods, and then they might do like short game or putting, or it's all hitting, but I can still chop it up into 3 things they're working on at minimum. That's a week's worth of videos. So 1 hour is a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday video, which is pretty good. That's a good amount of content to put out 3 a week for just 1 hour's worth of work. And then that's all I do. So I film a lesson, I put out those videos. That's all we've done for 4 months. And then guess what? We're going to do that, provide value for people, which is what we're doing through the videos. I do the tactics and strategies, you know, with the keyword research and title descriptions and tags, and, you know, building some decent thumbnails, but it's nothing anybody else can't learn or pay someone to do. And then guess what? We're going to offer a membership community. That's it. You guys, it's not like George Genkis. He's on the cover of Golf Digest. Like, it's not complicated. Like, I'm filming lessons, which is what he does. And then we're going to offer a membership site. That's it.
The exact process is I think, thanks to the guy who kind of probably got our podcast started too, the Gary V method. And I think it goes, like you said, 1 hour, you chop it, you distribute, you rinse and repeat. It's not rocket science. But again, you have to know the ins and the outs and the how and the drive to do it, which I think is where you truly excel, is you have a passion for this, and it really stands out because you want others to find the success that you've been able to within this space. So I'm excited to see Poor Zach Golf grow. I'm excited to see what you do behind the scenes to really help that YouTube take off and just create a space for Poor Zach to the point where he's going to be that quote unquote next George Genkis, the next big name in golf. And I think with you behind the wheel, I think it's the moon's the limit as far as what's going to happen with Poor Zach and everything surrounding their team.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I can go for as long as you guys want. Two, I was so excited to meet Adam and Mike because they're the first people I've actually met outside of my internal circle that wanted to go to the heights that I wanted to go to. I finally met somebody that had the same level of ambition to go as high as they can go as myself. And that's really what it comes down to with whether it be golf, PGA Tour players or golf instructors. It's the intangibles. It's where you're coming from internally. Not many people want that type of exposure or negative and positive feedback or want that type of responsibility or want to put in that work. Cause it's not easy. You know, just so you guys know, I've taught, you know, multiple instructors like intros and outros. Dude, they're fucking there for like 45 minutes trying to do like a 30-second intro. Yeah. I'm like this. Hey, this is Gabriel Wright here, representing Movement Towards Improvement. This video, where I'll bust that out one take in 30 seconds. They're like 30 minutes.
And like 60 like, okay. takes later. Exactly. it has to be a little bit natural, at least for people to succeed, I think is what it boils down to, right? You can work on it. You can improve yourself. You can really get good at having good spoken word and coming across well. Like yourself, you made a transformation. You got good on screen. You got yourself in a place where you weren't comfortable to it, to now it's natural. And like you just said, with that quick flip of an intro, you can do it in a heartbeat's note. If someone says, do an intro right now. If your life depended on it, you could do it now because you've put the time in it and you've really succeeded in it. And I think that's the lesson to be learned here over everything. And I think what I love about your story is if you put the work in, if you overcome, you know, some deficiencies in what you thought was deficiencies in life to really focus on yourself, you can do great things. And I think that's what I love about your story is you've come over so much. You've done kind of a revamp, not once, not twice, but almost 3 times, you know, just from what we know. And it's incredible to have that kind of inspiration to look for and say, damn it, that's possible. If I have something that I'm looking at and I don't like, it's possible to change that and succeed on what that might be holding me back from.
This game of life is an inner game. Everything in the external world is just a reflection of what you've created inside internally. So I can see in people like a Poor Zach, and I can see in other people who kind of have some limiting beliefs or suppressions or traumas, I can see what it is that's holding you back. And I can see, like, I don't think personally, I don't, it's not an accident that I helped George Genkis get started and he blew up to where he is. It's not an accident with Porzek. I can see it. I have it, right? I have that ability to entertain and to draw people in and to attract. So I can recognize it, like real recognize real. I'm like, oh fuck, dude, you have it too. That's fucking rare. I want to help you get where you need to go. Same thing I saw in George. And at the time I didn't know it. I was like, Fish, if I had to guess, I think this is going to work, but I've never done it for anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know it was going to succeed. I didn't know we're going to make 45,000 bucks in just a few days. And I was like, and now I've, you know, 5 years later, I'm mature. I can recognize certain energies or patterns and be like, oh, this guy's a star. Or like this guy, I can see what he needs to mend or resolve within himself that allow him to have that expansion. So a lot of people are afraid of putting themselves on camera. A lot of people are afraid of putting their teaching out there and showing what they actually really do in real life time. And these are all the internal blocks that people have, a fear of rejection or a fear of failure or fear of being not accepted. And it takes a very, you know, courageous, vulnerable person to be like, I'm going to really put myself out there for the whole world to see, because I know where I want to go and what I want to do. And just everyone's at a different place on that journey. And it's not for everybody. Listen, the camera and all this stuff is not for everybody. Like if you can try it and you should experiment, explore, but you know, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. Not everyone's a Gabriel Ryder, but at the same time, like, you know, give it a shot and see like if there's something within podcasting or seeing something, if there's an Instagram or TikTok or YouTube that might be like fun for you. Like that would be enjoyable for you and something that you can use to document your life and document your lessons and create a legacy. And, you know, ultimately, like, push your own message and mission into the world. Like, what's your mission, message, and movement? You know, like, as a golf instructor, like, what do you want to promote? Because everybody has their own niche. Everyone has their own lane. Everyone has their own perspective on how they see the world. And ultimately, what I want for this podcast and for Golf Influencer is, like, everyone to kind of push their own essence into the world and how they can make the world a better place. Like, for Golf Influencer, I'm like, dude, you do have a message. You do need to build a movement, whether it's, you know, juniors or, you know, any type of golfer, but you're going to have a unique way that certain people are only going to resonate with you. Meaning, dude, Porzak's, dude, Butch Harmon, I bet you Butch has fucked up some golfer swings. He's worked with DJ and he's worked with the Woods and he's worked with, you know, everybody, right? But I bet you some golfers have gone to him and be like, dude, Butch fucked me up. I haven't been able to play golf well since my first three lessons with Butch. what I'm saying is not everybody is for everybody. Doesn't mean Butch is a bad instructor or a good instructor. What I'm saying is some people really resonate with Porzak and some people are like, dude, he's fucking too high energy. He's fucking too, I need a Kelvin Miyahiro from Hawaii who's laid back and relaxed. So everyone I promote needs to put their message and their mission out there because there's only people that are going to resonate with your voice, resonate with your tone. Like people like me back in the day, I'm like, dude, I could see how people are like, dude, Gabe's way too high strung. He's fucking way too high energy. I need a, you know, whatever opposite, you know, Grant Waite or something or Joseph Mayo, you know? So it's like, you need to go out there. You need to build your movement. You need to build your tribe and you need to continue impacting the world because as men, I think what other thing is there for us to do with our killing the time?
No, I think it's so true. I think we can end on that. Go find your fun, guys, because that's where it's all. That's where I think the full purpose of life exists is when you can go find the true fun, the true joy in life, and go, you know, chase that fun, chase that dream, and really find a passion in which you can, you know, live out on a day to day. So, Gabriel, really appreciate the time, man. Your story is incredible. What you're doing for the game is incredible. The teachers, I can only imagine that you're going to bring to light in the next decade even more if you stick at it that long. I hope you do because you've affected a lot of people's lives for the greater good within this golf industry. It's been an absolute pleasure having you tonight, man. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Dalton. Thank you, Dante. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate your service, you know, being able to reach out. Continue to bring these conversations up because they need to be had. And there's a lot of gems and insights, especially from people like me who've had a lot of experience, who've now like edited and filmed, you know, 700-800 golf videos, and have had those years of experience. So being able to bring this access, information, availability out to people, I think is phenomenal. I acknowledge and commend you guys.
Well, I appreciate it. We're going to do the Gabriel Awesome. Ryder method.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
This 1 hour episode up into about 5 to 10 gems and shoot it out for the people to see. So I love it, man. I appreciate it. It's from one, you know, kind of creator to a creator that's done it for a long time. It's an honor to have you on the podcast. And we gain a lot of insight from what you've done.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Take care, buddy.
Thanks.
Stuff one shot at a time.